standing for the reading of the Word of God.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Read that with me out loud. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now Thomas, also known Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand inside his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You may be seated. Jesus is God's love in action. If you want to see God's love, we've got to look at Jesus. We got to grow closer to Jesus. All of us in this room, no matter how long we've said we believed, I have a feeling that we could actually ask the Lord every time we pray, "I believe, Lord, but help me with my unbelief." There's times in our lives that we'd say, "Oh, I feel so close to you and blessed by you, Lord." And then there's other times you doubt His love because of what's happening in this world. And I believe that we would fall into that same realm. I mean, you really look at all the disciples here, and we may say, "Oh, why did Thomas doubt? Why did Thomas doubt?" Well, you got to remember, these guys were in a room with the doors locked because they were more in fear of the Jewish leaders than they were focused on that our Messiah, the Christ, has risen. Until we truly believe. And if you really think about it, I've tried to say, you know, if people are going to ask me the question, "Do you believe in Jesus?" Well, I would think if they'd asked me, "What do you do for a living?" And I would say, "Well, I preach the Word of God." But truly, do you believe in Jesus? What do you think they're going to expect me to say? Well, sure. But have you ever doubted? Do you ever doubt? And we fall like into this human realm that we understand. And really what it is, it's not about the lack of faith, that it is maybe needing to still grow in faith. Because I don't believe there's anyone that will ever live long enough to say, I've learned enough about Jesus. Jesus is God's love in action. When I'm down and out, and when I'm feeling low, and when I'm feeling like I am not useful, and I look at other people and see how active they are, but I wonder, does God really love me? He must love them more. If people are watching on Facebook and people that meet across the street for drug addiction and people that have alcoholism in their life and the people that have all those things, I can imagine what they'd say is, I really doubt that Jesus really loves me. And yet we've got a message because we're no different than they are. We are sinners. And yet when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was the grace He gave us last week. That's a grace that we need to claim. We don't deserve it. We can't work our way for it. We just respond to it. And I believe truly this is what I'm learning about myself. If I feel loved much, I love others much. If I feel that not very many people love me, I love less. And you may feel that about God sometimes. Does He truly love me? Then let's dive into Scripture. Let's remind each other. Let's grow closer, put ourselves in the writer John, because what he says is that he writes these things. He writes these things in Scripture. Listen to what he says in verse 24. This is when Thomas comes, and then the other disciple told him, we've seen the Lord. He tells him not to doubt. And then later on, John says this, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And there is one of John's testimony where he says, I write these things down in order that you may believe. That you actually believe. And in verse 31 of this same chapter, that by believing, we would have life. And we would have life eternal. He did many things. He did things that no room could hold in record keeping. But John wrote these things down, and that's why we need to pay attention to the writing of John, because he pours out his heart about Jesus, and that we would have the opportunity to believe in who Jesus is and the love that Jesus has, so that we can go and love much to other people. Now, let me introduce to you John. I thought I would just do that this morning, John the writer. Lord's willing, next week we're going to talk about the preacher I love. I just love this preacher. This is my favorite preacher, John the Baptist. Maybe it's just because I like how, you know, he was rough and he was tough, and he didn't wear the finest of all clothes, and he just got straight to the point. And so we're going to look at John the Baptist next week, because he was the forerunner to get ready for what Jesus was going to lead them in. And we got to understand what that means. But John, the writer, is not John the Baptist. John, the writer, is one of the apostles, one of Jesus' disciples. Actually, John is one of the three that was really close to Jesus, got to learn about his love for him. So next week, Lord's willing, we'll learn about John the Baptist and what he taught, but it's the same teaching that John learned, because he was a disciple of John the Baptist until Jesus came. He was one of the 12 disciples that Jesus actually said, if you just drop everything and come and follow me, I will make you a fisher of mankind. I will teach you how to catch people's hearts for me. I will train you in that. He's one of Jesus' closest friends. That's why he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John wasn't doing comparison of the levels of love that Jesus might have to the other guys, because Jesus loves the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God doesn't show favoritism with his love. So why would John describe? I think John followed Jesus so close that he got so much understanding, maybe more than the others, of how much Jesus loved him, that even when Jesus was being led to the cross, he went with him. He didn't care what happened to him. They could have just tossed him on a cross and put him up right beside of Jesus. It didn't matter to him because of how much he knew Jesus loved him. And if Jesus is going to do those loving things for me, I have to ask myself, am I willing to show my love toward Jesus and do the same likewise? That's why we have to practice love. Believing is an action word. It's not just a statement. It's not just saying, I believe he existed. I believe he holds the truth. I believe he holds the way of life. And I believe that he's the only way to get back to the image that God created me in, his own. But I have a sin problem. That's why we have to follow Jesus, as we talked about the grace and the gift last week. We got to follow Jesus to the cross so that I can make a decision that, Jesus, you love me that much, but here's how much I love you. I'm going to deny myself and take up my own cross, and I'm going to follow you. Sin that separates me from the image of God, I need to get out of my life, and actually the refreshment of forgiveness. What it happens in burial of Jesus into the grave. Death to sin. And when I step down into the water and make that decision that, Jesus, I accept your love, it's also a statement back up to the Lord. This is how much I love you, because I want death to my sin and I would like to be refreshed and forgiven, but I'm so undeserving, but you love me so much that you're willing to forgive me, to remember my sin no more. And then by coming up out of the water, it shows the power over death that for me to be able to live the new life. When people say, I've got so much sin in my life that it has its reign on me, I don't think I could ever give up those certain sins. I either inherit them from my parents, or I inherit them from other things. I was introduced as a young person here, and I've done it for so long, I don't know how to do anything different. The power of the resurrection of Jesus, when you come up out of the water, is to live the new life, but the same kind of power that raised Him from the dead will raise you up to have a conquering experience over sin. Where you can say no to ungodliness, and you can say yes to holiness. And that's why the church is needed, to encourage each other until the Lord comes back. Because we're going to doubt sometimes. We're here just to help each other when we're doubting. That's why we develop relationships, and we need to learn how to develop more and become a church about relationships. Being a church that understands that Jesus loves everybody here, loves everybody in Hickory, loves everybody in North Carolina, loves everybody in the United States, loves everybody in the world, to the point that He gave His one and only Son for them. But I'm going to represent that kind of love to the people that I have in contact with on my daily life. And I want to make a difference. I want them to feel Jesus' love through me. I want them to be able to hear that I struggle too. But we could both go hand in hand and touch the scars and place it. And even Jesus said what to you? Yeah, you believe because you were able to do that. And He's talking to the guys at this time. But blessed are the ones who believe in Me that will never see Me. You are sitting here as blessed people. Because you still believe. But admit, we still doubt. And all Jesus wants to do is to remind us that conquering over sin, that blessing that you received, that effectiveness, that concern and compassion towards other people, that's all Me blessing you with what I've been blessed with, and that is a representation of our Creator God. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against each other. Our battle's in the unseen of the evil that's got a lot of people convinced they can't leave it. I believe it's time for us to open our spiritual eyes by going through John, so that we would be able to find the people that are sick and tired of evil, but don't believe they can ever get out of it. There's some people that enjoy evil. But even from the day, and I don't know for sure, I'll leave it to God. You and I will leave it to God. From what I understand, there is an 80-year-old woman that when Jeffrey Dahmer, if that rings a bell to some of you, of his just horrific sin of evil, being a mass murderer, and I won't go into detail what he did, but he was arrested, life in prison, actually got killed in prison, but before he died, an 80-year-old woman, believe it or not, from a Church of Christ, I believe, someplace in Illinois, I think, wrote him a letter and sent him some study guides for him to look into Scripture, just hoping that maybe this mass, cruel, evil doer would have a heart that would say, if you go to Jesus, he can forgive you of all sin and give you what you don't deserve, and that's salvation. If you just believe. And we got to be careful if we ever get to the point as being followers of Jesus that we'd say, well, if Jeffrey Dahmer's in heaven, I don't want to be there. You got to remember, where did Paul come from? He was Saul. He was a God believer, but was not a Jesus believer, and he had the church persecuted and killed for their belief in Jesus. Belief is an action, willing to die for the one who died for us. Willing to die of our sin. And Lord, hope it never comes to this. If we ever have to be a martyr, that we would stand up for Jesus and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Because Jesus' life is the way back to the Father. John had weaknesses. John had a period of time to where, along with James, outbursts of anger. Anybody here ever struggle with an outburst of anger at times when things happen that don't happen your way? I mean, these are people Jesus is are training here, and literally what it was is that Jesus sent them into a city. And really, James and them, it gets frustrating when people just keep on rejecting Jesus, and I don't need that religion kind of stuff. I don't want to give them religion. I want to give them a relationship. And it gets tough and weary, and we get attitudes towards people who don't believe, to where we don't even want to be around unbelievers. I'm learning more and more. The church is a movement of God looking for people to save. And a church is an encouraging foundation to one another because we care so much, we connect, and all of us belong to each other. And that we've got some more brothers and sisters waiting for us to tell them, you can be a part of our family. But if we're waiting for people to get their act in shape and get straightened out before they come here, we're going to be waiting a long time. John described to Jesus, hey, if we go in and we preach, I'll try that. I don't know. You might think I'm this kind of a preacher, and that's okay. At least I struggle with John, like John does, with this outburst of anger. It gets frustrating when people don't listen, especially to the Lord, and especially if you're crying out to say, please, don't listen to me. Go home and examine the scriptures that I just read and find out if it was God speaking through the writer and the experiences of them. But here's what John decided. Well, if they're not going to listen, well, can I just bring down fire from heaven and just wipe them out of here and I'll start all over again? You think I'm that kind of a preacher? Well, it depends. There's some things you say, some things that I don't particularly like. You say some things that I believe is genuine from your heart, but it stings because you're talking about me. This is not a feel good about myself kind of gospel. What it is a feel good about God kind of gospel, because He loves me so much. And I undeserve it. I don't deserve it at all. John even struggled with selfishness. Remember the time in Matthew 20, starting in verse 20 through 28, where his mom came along and said, "Hey, could you put my son at a high place in your kingdom, Jesus? I don't think you know what you're asking. Is your son willing to... John, are you willing to drink of the same cup that I'm willing... The suffering, the death? Are you willing to go through that for me?" "Oh, yeah! That's right." Peter even said it. "Oh, I would never let you die." And when they came to get Jesus to be arrested to where he had to go to the cross to complete the gospel, Peter takes out his sword. And I don't believe Peter's a great swordsman. He's a fisherman. I think he just flung it. And Malchus just probably went down, clipped off his ear. Jesus reaches down, picks up the ear, and puts it back on. I tell you one thing, if I was there at that time and was a doubter, I would start believing right then. And yet he says, "Blessed are the ones who have not seen, but still believe." You know what that's saying to you and I? That you believe these witnesses and everything in God's Word is true. Blessed are you if that's where you're at. We're going to start this journey next week. Purcell and David and Seth is going to help me as we go through this journey through the book of John. I really want you to be here. I want you to be on Facebook. And I want you to learn the good news of Jesus' love for you. Because the way you feel loved is the way you'll respond to it. If you feel loved a little by God, you won't dedicate your life to Him that well. But if you feel this massive love from God, you will say, "Lord, here am I. Use me. Use me for your kingdom." Believe is action. Have you realized how much He genuinely loves you? So at this time, you've got two different cups to where you can peel off to partake of the bread and to partake of the fruit of the vine, to remind us of how much Jesus really loved you. The broken body that went to the cross, the suffering, the scourging, the nail-scarred hands. It's a time to stop doubting and to begin believing. So we come to the table, and then we're going to commune with the Lord and with each other. We're going to have some meditation on that. We're going to hear a song, "Nobody Loves Me Like You." And I hope you believe that today. David will lead us in a prayer and lead us in a song. And then you get to go home and to examine these passages in the book of John, chapter 20, and to remind yourself how much Jesus loves you, and then believe it. Put it into practice. So come to the table. It's prepared for you and I as we listen and commune with the Lord.